Well, this is the Jacqueline Street Alliance Church Commissioning Sunday. Of everything else that's going on this Sunday, this is also the last Sunday that our brothers and sisters will be with us on a Sunday. And it's our intention to bless them as they go and to commission them as they go. Now, understand that to commission a person or a group of people, as is the case today, means to authorize them to do something or to send them on a mission. And so this morning, we are authorizing the Jacqueline Street Alliance Church plant team to start functioning in significant ways as a church. Though they will be part of us for likely another year and a half, we are looking for them to function as a church. And we send them on mission. The mission that was given to them by their Lord and ours, Jesus Christ, to fulfill the Great Commission. And so with this sermon, I intend to charge the Jacqueline Street Alliance church planting team on behalf of West London Alliance Church in regards to a few things. Now again, this word charge, when used in this sense, means to place on them a duty or a responsibility. I'm sure you've heard that police officers are charged with keeping the peace. Well, we will charge this group of people from our midst this morning. And I will do that on behalf of the elders and the staff and the congregation. And I'm going to take my charges from the book of Revelation. I have told you before that the most frequent request I get is to preach on the book of Revelation, which I have not done yet. But I will do this morning, but then not again for a while, I expect. Now, in my church upbringing, and I expect many of yours, the book of Revelation was primarily used and referred to as a book about future events. And I think that's unfortunate. Consider these words by Revelation commentator G.K. Beale. Quote, "One of the great tragedies in the church in our day is how Revelation has been so narrowly and incorrectly interpreted with an obsessive focus on the future end time, with the result that we have missed the fact that it contains many profound truths and encouragements concerning Christian life and discipleship. The prophetic visions of Revelation can easily disguise the point that it was written as a letter to the churches and a letter which is pastoral in nature. The goal of Revelation is to bring encouragement to believers of all ages that God is working out his purposes even in the midst of tragedy, suffering, and apparent satanic domination. It is the Bible's battle cry of victory, for in it, more than anywhere else in the New Testament, is revealed the final victory of God over all the forces of evil. As such, it is an encouragement to God's people to persevere in the assurance that their final reward is certain, and to worship and glorify God despite trials and despite temptations to march to the world's drumbeat," end quote. So with that encouragement, let us go to God's word this morning. I'll be reading from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I encourage you to turn there in your Bibles or on your devices so that you can read along as I read aloud. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Let me start with my first charge. Charge number one to the Jacqueline Street Alliance Church. Note, Westland Alliance, that this is of benefit to us all. Note, if you're a believer and maybe not part of Westland Alliance, you came to watch the kids, that this is a benefit to you as well, even though I make the charges to the Jacqueline Street Alliance Church Plant team. Number one, recognize Christ's sovereignty. Recognize Christ's sovereignty. We charge the Jacqueline Street Alliance Church Plant team to continually recognize and regard Christ as sovereign. The first charge comes from the first verse of our passage. The words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven gold lampstands. Now, the vision here of Christ points to Jesus' sovereign protection and divine authority over the churches, and I would say over all churches. Jesus' sovereignty is portrayed in his holding the seven stars, which are seven angels connected to seven churches, and we'll see where that comes from in a moment. Now, this word employed for hold, he holds the seven stars, means he holds authoritatively. His sovereignty extends even to the spiritual realms. He rules over mankind. And he rules over the spiritual world. Now, his walking in the midst of the seven lampstands, which we will see shortly, are seven churches, points to his intimate knowledge of those churches. That is, his authoritative control is supported by his divine omniscience. He is with his churches. He is aware of their comings and goings. He is present to their current struggles. And he rules over them all. Now, earlier on in chapter 1 of Revelation, a fuller picture of this vision of Jesus is relayed. And it's there we find the explanation of the stars and the lampstands. Let me read Revelation chapter 1, verses 10 through 20 for you. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands stands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Clearly, Jesus, speaking to John, communicates verbally by addressing these churches. And in the case of our text this morning, the church in Ephesus. But Jesus is also communicating about himself in regards to this vision of himself. And the picture we have of Jesus in today's passage, chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, clearly relates to this portrayal of Jesus in chapter 1. And so let's spend a little bit of time in chapter 1 to get a fuller sense of Jesus' sovereignty. The star holding Jesus in the midst of the lampstand, we're told, is the first and last. That's the same title that's attributed to Yahweh in the Old Testament. For example, Isaiah 41, verse 4. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. This Jesus is Israel's sovereign Yahweh. Jesus' sovereignty is further depicted in his resurrection, which comes out of the claim, fear not, I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And not only could death not hold him, but he sovereignly controls death. He says, I have the keys of death and Hades. We see even more of Jesus' kingly sovereignty expressed when we're told his eyes were like flames and a sword came out of his mouth. These descriptors point to sovereignty because later on in the book of Revelation, we see that these descriptions are connected with Jesus judging the entire world. In Revelation 19, the connection between these fire-like eyes and the sword from his mouth, they're connected to his role as sovereign judge of the universe. Revelation 19, 11 through 15. Listen to the connection here. Then I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has presented himself to the church in Ephesus through the writings of John as the sovereign king of the universe. He is unlimited in knowledge and power. He judges everyone and everything, and yet none judge him. He is eternal and indestructible. This is the Savior of those in Ephesus. And Jacqueline Street Alliance Church, he is your sovereign king too. And so we charge you this morning to regard Jesus as such. Let Jacqueline Street Alliance Church be a church that emphasizes praising the sovereign King Jesus. Let your voices gather each Lord's Day from this day forward to sing praises to this King because he is worthy. In fact, he alone is worthy. Church plant team, in all things, demonstrate your recognition that Jesus is King by submitting to him and to his word. Acknowledge his kingship over Jacqueline Street Alliance Church by doing all things for his glory, by making known his greatness in all you do. Our first charge from you from Revelations 2, 1 through 7 is to continually recognize Christ's sovereignty. Charge number 2, guard Christ's doctrine. We charge the Jacqueline Street Alliance Church plant team to guard Christ's doctrine with endurance. The second charge comes from the second and third verses of our passage. John writes, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Jesus commends now the Ephesian church for testing and for rejecting the false apostles. They have been guarding Christ's doctrine, Christ's true doctrine that has been entrusted to them by the true apostles. They are using godly discernment, determining what is right from wrong. And they are doing so with endurance and perseverance as they guard what has been delivered to them. It's interesting, Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, admonished the elders of this church in Ephesus. Listen to what he admonishes them with. Acts 20, 28 and 30. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Paul saw this would happen. And now Jesus commends this church because they have remained faithful. They've remained faithful to what Paul called them to. One commentator put the grounds for their commendation succinctly. Loyalty to the truth and orthodoxy of belief was the outstanding virtue of the Ephesian church. Jacqueline Street Alliance Church Plant Team, let this be said of you, that you have guarded Christ's doctrine. And you can do so by being a church that is committed to learning that doctrine and teaching that doctrine. In the book of Titus, the Apostle Paul gives instructions to Titus in regards to overseers or elders, to the leaders of the church. Paul writes in Titus 1:9, he, that is the overseer or the elder, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught. All right, so the word, the doctrine was taught to the overseer first, so that, he goes on to say, he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. And so we see this pattern that we are charging our church plant team to emulate. The elder must hold to the truth that he has learned. Then he is to take that sound doctrine and teach that sound doctrine to the church. And the implication for the church is that they must learn sound doctrine themselves. They must learn the sound doctrine that their elder or their pastor is teaching them. Now, I have utmost confidence that Reese will teach sound doctrine even as he has been taught. I am confident of this. And that sound doctrine that Reese has been taught and that he will be teaching is a defense against those who might contradict it. Now, to be commended for guarding their doctrine, the Ephesians must have learned it from their elders and then taught it to the rest of the church. When Paul was there, there was a dozen people. Presumably, there's more now. And yet, with perseverance and endurance, they guarded Christ's doctrine. Jacqueline Street Alliance Church, learn and teach and learn and teach and learn and teach Christ's doctrine that you may guard it against any who contradict it. This is our second charge to you from Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Guard Christ's doctrine. Charge number 3, love Christ's gospel. We charge the Jacqueline Street Alliance Church Plant Team to not abandon their passion for the gospel. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 give us this third charge. But I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, there is much debate in regards to this aspect of the letter to the church in Ephesus. Most of the debate centers on what exactly the love is that has been abandoned. Some believe it's the love of Christ himself. Some people believe the Ephesian church had abandoned the love they had at first for one another. Both these are legitimate possibilities and can be defended from Scripture. However, I have found the commentator who I have already quoted this morning, G.K. Beale, compelling in his reasoning that suggests the love they have lost is their love for the gospel, their passion for the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, the book of Acts indicates that initially the Ephesians received the gospel, and at the reception of the gospel, they shared it. Listen to Acts 19, verse 1, and then 7 to 10. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples. So Paul is in Ephesus. He finds disciples. Listen, there were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. They shared the gospel so often, so continuously, that Luke, in recording it, says, all the recipients of Asia heard the word of the Lord. They loved the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beale, the commentator, argues, I think persuasively, that the love that the church in Ephesus abandoned was the love of the gospel, and the corresponding work they were no longer doing was the work of evangelism, of sharing that gospel. So the first love that the church in Ephesus had abandoned may have been their love for Jesus, and it may have been their love for others. But if it was their love for the message of Christ's salvation, and I believe it was, that they had abandoned it, then that means they had also abandoned sharing the gospel with others. And the rebuke that Jesus gives them allows us to make a third charge to the Jacqueline Street Alliance church planting team. Do not let your love and passion for the gospel grow cold. Do not abandon it. Loving the gospel, among other things, means sharing the gospel. Jacqueline Street Alliance church planting team, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. We charge you to be a church that shares the gospel. Share it in your singing, portray it in the ordinances, declare it in your preaching, teach it in your classes, and perhaps most significantly this morning, share it with unbelievers in your neighborhood and at your work and in your school and around your dinner table and wherever you enjoy rest and recreation. This gospel that must be shared is the glorious news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Unbelievers need to hear how our sin and our transgressing of God's law has alienated us from him and left us facing his wrath and punishment. They need to hear of God's great love that planned and pursued a remedy for the plight of mankind. They need to hear about God the Son becoming human that he might live among us and obey God for us and die as our substitute, taking on himself the wrath of God and the punishment for our sin. They need to hear that he did this through his sacrificial death on the cross. They need to hear of his resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven. And they need to hear that he has promised to return. And they need to hear that this work of Christ can be for them forgiveness of sin, reconciliation to God, and everlasting life. They need to be admonished to turn from their sin and repentance and to turn to God in faith, entrusting themselves to Jesus and his work on the cross. They need to hear that this is the only way to God. Jacqueline Street Alliance church planting team, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Jacqueline Street Alliance Church, we are sending you. We are sending you to preach the gospels that unbelievers might hear and that God might bring them to life, so that they will believe. Our third charge to you this morning is to love Christ's gospel and to proclaim it to those who have yet to believe. Charge number 4, reject Christless culture. We charge the Jacqueline Street Alliance church planting team to love not the world. Verse 6 of our passage gives us our fourth charge. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Who were the Nicolaitans? The Nicolaitans probably taught that Christians could participate in the idolatrous culture of Ephesus. This city was dominated by the cult of the goddess Artemis, the goddess of fertility, and her temple had thousands of priests and priestesses, and there was heavy involvement in prostitution. The city had also been declared a temple warden of two temples dedicated to the imperial cult, that is the worship of Caesar. Ephesus was a city rife with idolatry. But Jesus commends the church in Ephesus for their resistance to the pressures of this idolatrous society. They were to not love the world. Now, what Jesus is addressing in his letter dictated to John for the church at Ephesus is not so much individually that they were risking or in threat of individualistic idolatry, but rather the danger of idolatry on a larger church-wide level. The danger at that church level isn't so much of members being unfaithful to one another, but the group of them are in risk of being unfaithful to God. If they adopt the practices and the perspectives that are not derived from Scripture, but rather derived from culture or from society or from the world, they would be unfaithful. And so the question is, Jacqueline Street Alliance church planting team, will you make friends with the world and begin to adopt their religious practices and perspectives? Maybe around things like marriage, or gender, or sexuality, or pornography, or racism, or ethnicity, or mental health, or prosperity, or abortion, or any number of issues? Will you adopt their perspective? Will you allow worldly sentiments to shape your view? Or will you allow Scripture to set the agenda for your church? We echo the words of Jesus from the Gospels to you this morning. Behold, we are sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. But we also send you out with the words of Jesus in which we find courage and confidence for you. John 17:14-17. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. You see, the weapon for rejecting and really for routing the world and its culture and its practices and its perspective is God's word. Jacqueline Street Alliance Church, you have said that you aim to be a church that reads the Bible, preaches the Bible, prays the Bible, sings the Bible, and sees the Bible and the ordinances. May it be so. May it be so. And in doing so, may you hate all that the world offers you as a church. And may you love and pursue all that God has for you, as he has indicated in his word. Our fourth charge to you this morning is to love not the world. I conclude this morning with a fifth and final charge. Trust God's promises. We charge the Jacqueline Street Alliance church planting team to have faith, as we have faith with you, that God will fulfill all he has promised. This comes from verse 7. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, it is clear from the book of Revelation that believers must obey the exhortations to persevere and to remain faithful if they wish to be one of those who inherit these divine promises. It is to the one who conquers that God grants the eating of the tree of life in the paradise of God. Now, Jacqueline Street Alliance church people, I love you. And I'm trying not to think of specific individuals who are going, lest I get emotional. But understand this. If your faithfulness depended on you, as much as I love you, I would have no hope for success. But it doesn't depend on you, but rather it depends on the God of promise. We trust his promises, and we charge you to trust his promises as well. As a church, You will conquer by recognizing Christ as sovereign over Jacqueline Street Alliance Church, by being a church that guards Christ's doctrine with endurance, by not letting your love for the gospel grow cold and sharing it with others. And finally, by not loving the world, but by trusting God's promises. This is what we charge you with this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that in this book of Revelation, we can find a message from a great God to his people that is pertinent for today. Father God, we're going to pray for the Jacqueline Street Alliance Church in just a moment. But I pray, Father God, that even now you would begin to prepare their hearts and their minds as we send them off. Father God, with confidence in you working through them, that they will be faithful. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.